Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
And for today, that's Morning Edition here on WILL AM 580. I'm Jay Pierce. Thanks for listening. Dave Dickey joins us now with our opening commodity market report.
Thank you very much, Jay, and good Friday morning, everyone. Let's check how prices fared in the resumption of trading. We gave the overnight opens at 8:49 Central Time. In Kansas City, December wheat opened at 7:58, down 7.25 on the open. At the Board of Trade, December wheat opened at 7:25, down 11.25. March, 7:45, down 11.5. December, 8:05, down 12. December corn opened at 5:53.5, down 4.75 on the open. March, 5:70, down 6. May, 5:81.5, down 6.75. July, 5:91.5, down 4.75. September, 5:94.5, down 4.5. December of 2009, 5:95, down 4.25 on the open. November beans opened at 11:82, down 10 on the open. Make that one on the open. January, 11.94, down 5.5. March, 12.10, down 2.5. May, 12.12, down 12.5. July, 12.29, down 5.75. And November of 2009, 11.92, down 5 on the open. October soybean meal opened at 3.20, down 3.40 on the open. December, 3.27, down 1.50. October soybean oil opened at 47.58, down 19 on the open. The December contract also down 19 on the open. The tick there at 48.10. October live cattle opened at 101.20, down, and that was up 25 on the open. October feeders, 107.20, up 35. October lean hogs, 69.25, down 2.5. And February bellies, 98, down 12.5 on the open.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities. He is in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning to you, Dave.
Help us out here. In your opinion, looking at everything, all things being equal, looking at what's going on Capitol Hill, are we entering a period of inflation or deflation, and why?
You can't say yet, Dave. I think that you could call it both ways. I think it's going to be extremely hard for the dollar to not go down, whether a bailout package comes or it doesn't. And so if that's the case, then the tendency is towards an inflationary time period. Higher interest rates would also be very, very likely with or without a bailout package. That would also tend to make you think you were going into an inflationary time period. I think the problem becomes is that you can't just automatically dance through the posy patch now and say, oh, commodities are going to go higher. They may indeed go higher for a while, but I think as you see the inflationary pressures, again, like you did in the early part of summer, you'll start to see people say, we're really hurting the world economy even more than we were before this financial mess happened. And so I think you've probably got a timeline, if we do take an inflationary track, that the commodities will go up. But because we're in a global economy, and it's not the same as it was in the 70s, in my opinion, I think you're probably looking at a situation where it'd be a little bit more like the 80s, where you have commodities go up for a while, but then all of a sudden you see extremely high interest rates and people are going to have to pay the piper again.
Let's look at the other side, because you said that the jury is still out. Could it be that we see deflation related to risk, investors and buyers hoarding their currency rather than investing it?
That's the big one right there, Dave, because the investment banks had a different set of accounting standards where they used mark-to-market risk, and they were also under the SEC. Well, now after 2.5 weeks, there are no more investment banks left in the United States. And as Germany has pointed out and their finance minister has pointed out, the two-tier banking model system that the United States worked has failed. And I think everybody is under the understanding that is indeed correct. And I think that's where you go back to how much of the funds are going to participate, who are going to be left in terms of participation, how tight are the regulatory screws going to be tightened, because commercial banks are underneath the Federal Reserve, whereas the investment banks were under the SEC, a self-policing agency. You know, and that's the biggie right there, is what you hit upon, and that's why the deflationary mindset, along with the idea of the global demand, is probably more of the model that I'm going to use in the analysis than the 70s. And I think it goes back to the research we did on the Japanese and what they went through with their banking financial crisis. This isn't an economic slowdown or economic crisis. This is truly a financial problem and a bank-led crisis, very similar to Japan and their model, where you had the Japanese people not saving. They were spending, spending, spending. The crisis occurred. The regulatory agencies came in. The laws changed, and all of a sudden the Japanese people became savers. Well, they didn't stop saving. They kept saving for years and years and years. The Japanese are still trying, the government, that is still trying to get the hands, the money out of the hands of the Japanese consumer still 13, 14 years later. I suspect that may be more closely related to what we're going to have to go through than what we did in the 70s.
Are we in a recession?
I think so. I think so. I think the bottom line for us, Dave, is that the two-thirds of GDP is private consumption and small businesses. And I don't know how you felt, but after I heard the president speak the other night, as both a small business person and a private citizen, I don't want to spend a dime right now. I want to hoard everything I can, bring my books back up to where I've got 3 to 4 months of money laid aside if I can, and just sit back and see what happens. And I think the damage has already been done to the consumption side when it comes to two-thirds of the GDP. And if I'm right about that, and if we're right about that at risk management, then we're going to see joblessness increase and jobless claims go up. And that's where you come back into kind of feeding the recessionary issue and feeding it into a true lower GDP.
No matter which side you want to argue, inflation, hyperinflation, depression, deflation, are we in agreement that the U.S. dollar is going to go down?
I think the odds are strongly against the dollar going up at this point, whether we get a bailout or not. I think it goes back again to the German finance minister saying the world will never be the same again. He said that in the Financial Times a couple days ago, and he said the United States will now lose their financial superpower status. I don't think that's overblown. I think that is a true statement. And so if that's the case, foreign buyers of our debt will be much, much, much more reluctant to take on our debt now without a much higher risk premium, meaning higher interest rates. And so there again, it goes back to how much lending will be done by banks at a much bigger cost. Again, you talk about slower growth and recession. So the last time we had this kind of a break in the S&P trend line was back in that 2000 time period. It took us about 20 months on a monthly S&P chart. Took us about 20 months to form a bottom and you know, salvage the market back up so that we could get the head of steam built back up to run higher. I suspect that's going to be close to what we're going to have to do this time around as well.
So if the U.S. dollar is more likely to decline, you and I have talked on previous shows that there comes a point when the dollar is too low and actually hurts commodities. Are we headed there?
I think we could be. I think we could be. I don't know the answer to that. You know, this is a very fluid situation, and history only does so much because there are a lot of differences. But the commercial paper market, the money market that everybody's been talking about, it was about $490 billion back in 1991. Right now it's running about $1.64 trillion as of the end of yesterday. The Federal Reserve keeps track of that daily. It just shows you how much bigger our world economy is and how much more our currencies mean to the world. So you can't put a template on this one just because of the size of the dynamics of what's changed since the 90s and the 80s and the 70s. But when it boils all down to commodities, I still think, and we're still using crude oil and copper as our bellwethers and our linchpins to the demand side. And we kind of see that in today's trade. The copper and the crude oil are getting hit very hard today. We suspect it's probably fund-related liquidation. Now, is it demand-related or is it financial-related liquidation? We don't know, but we do think that it's probably led by the idea that we're going into the end of the quarter. So we're, again, going back to the idea that by the end of this quarter, we'll know a lot more about where corn and bean prices are going to be heading, not just from a macro standpoint, but by yields and things like that and weather.
Let's take it then to the farmer who is looking at all this on Capitol Hill and wondering what the heck to do with this crop, and probably wondering if $5 on the board is a good sale given the financial instability if they haven't done anything.
Well, we've talked about this in our copy here this week. We've had a real nice move up in basis, Dave. I think with the uncertainty and the fact that a lot of farmers are going to have off the combine sales because, quite frankly, we've been on the low end of the corn yield spectrum all year long. We recognize that, but I have to say the yields are holding up much better than I thought. So I think there's going to be a lot more off the combine early corn sales to be made than what we had initially thought. So we've addressed that with our clients and said your basis is improved. Take the good basis, sell off the combine. If you close back up above 570 in Dease corn, if you close back up above $12 in Nov beans, come back and buy it back. If you don't get those closes above that, no need to come back and buy it back until we know more about what's going on in the equities markets.
Got about 35 seconds left to put a capper on it. Is the late planted corn and bean crop any good?
I think it will be because the weather has moved in favor of it drying down and finishing out, especially where you guys were at with you and Todd and Sherman and Chuck and the rest of the guys out there at the farm show. It sounded like to me that the biggest thing going against them was the growing season being shut down. Talking to guys down near Vetersburg, Kingman, Indiana, they're in the same boat.
They've missed some
rains, but they're still expecting a decent turn of events here.
Thank you much, Mike.
Thanks, Dave.
Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana. You're listening to WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD2 and HD3 Urbana.